Blog Talk Radio.
Let me hear the worshipers! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Let's
take it up one more time. Every praise.
Every praise.
Come on, everybody.
To our God.
praise. I don't care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
We thank and praise God for the anointed Bishop Hezekiah Walker. Every praise is to our God. Hey, man, you can catch him on Friday night at the gathering. Hey, man, Facebook Live. Type him in, Bishop Hezekiah Walker. The anointed, the blessed, favored of God. Amen. God bless you tonight. Praise God Almighty. Thank you, champions, for tuning in once again. I'm your host tonight, Bishop Thurman A. Butler. Praise God. Trust that you enjoyed the revival last week. Amen. To God be the glory. What an awesome time we had. And every praise is to our God. We thank him for what he's done. Amen. We thank God for MCI Blog Talk Radio. We invite you to tune in throughout the week. To God be the glory. Amen. Tomorrow night, amen. To God be the glory. Amen. My very anointed wife, praise God, with your weekly word workout with Lady T, coming to bless you mightily. To God be the glory. Then we have Friday night, amen, the Apostle Callum McNeil. Amen. And we start the week right back over on Monday night. To God be the glory. Amen. With my brother in ministry, amen, my fellow yokemen, the right, the ready, the worthy, Pastor Matthew McNeil with Your Fix at 6. We thank God tonight. Amen. And we're not going to waste your time tonight. Not that it would be a waste of time, amen, but we're not going to prolong the time, for a better way to put it. We're going to get right into the Word of God tonight. I want you to turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Chapter 6. We're going to entitle this message, hey man, I can see my way clearly. I can see my way clearly. And I just want to talk about, sometimes it takes time. Sometimes you have to go down paths that you believe is your journey. You go down areas, you go ways, you go different avenues that you believe is going to bring you to the will of God. You believe that it's going to bring you to that place in God for which God called you. Uh-huh. So when we have the zeal of God, we get the urgency to fulfill the zeal. We get an urgency to head down that road. We start running for our lives. Come on, somebody. We start singing songs, glory to God. If anybody asks you, what's the matter with me? Tell them I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, fire baptized, and I am running for my life. Yes, come on. All of those things may be true. You may be saved. You may be sanctified. You may be filled with the Holy Ghost. And you may be running for your life. But how many of us know you can be running down the wrong path? You can be running out of position. You can be running at your own accord. Come on, somebody. You can be running even before time. So, blessed by God, I want to try to encourage somebody a way to check. You need a compass. The Bible says you can have zeal, but not according to knowledge. So we need a compass. We need assurance. We need a witness to help us to understand that we are running according to the author and the finisher of our faith. Come on, somebody. The pastor last week, Pastor McNeil, wrote something last week on Facebook, and it said something to the extent of, he knows what we have need of tomorrow because he's already been there, and we're just going. Come on, somebody. So I rather trust he that holds my destiny in his hand, he that is the author and the finisher of our faith. So we're going to find that story to look at, or a witness of a life being sent. We have so many people that's going, leaving at their own accord. The Bible says some was called, some was sent, and others just went. And just because you're one of the ones who just went doesn't mean that you're a bad person or you're wrong. Maybe you just didn't wait for the right time. Maybe sometimes you just didn't wait for God to do what he needs to do. Come on, somebody. We as the children of God, we have to understand that God does not pour new wine into old bottles. Neither does he put a new call, a new path, on a life that he hasn't already predestinated. What am I saying? He don't shift in the middle. Unless that was your path from the beginning to start one way and they're off to another way. God doesn't change his mind. Neither is the gift without repentance. What are you saying, Bishop, tonight? I'm saying that God prepares the vessel. Glory be to God. And you may have been going through some things. Glory be to God. You may have not understood why you went through some things. You may not understand why some things had to happen. But to God be the glory. If it's according to the author and finisher of your faith, then it was God preparing you for the journey. Do you see your path? Do you see your way? Well, some things have to happen at times for scales to fall. And if you look into the book of Isaiah chapter 6, praise be to God, it starts off by talking about in the year that King Uzziah died. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. Letting us know, glory be to God, sometimes even before we ever see God, some things have to die. We have a life sometimes, glory be to God, that we live pre-salvation. We live it before we come to God, before we yield to God, before we seek God. Come on. And glory be to God. Sometimes you can be saved and yet not see God. You can go to church and still not see God. Y'all ain't talking to me. You can read the Bible and there's no guarantee that you'll see God. He's all in the Bible. He is the Word. But when I say see God, I'm talking about more than with your eyes. I'm talking about a deep place in God till he reveals himself in you. Till he reveals himself to you. And he said that, glory be to God, a set time came, and it was after King Uzziah died. He saw the Lord. Something may have to die in you today. Something may have to die in your journey. Something may have to die from your past. And some deaths can make you see better. He said, when he saw the Lord, he was high and lifted up. That means he saw a true depiction of God. He saw God for who he was. He saw God for where he was. Come on, somebody. He saw God positional, the position that God is in. Good God Almighty, when you truly see the Lord, you'll see him high and lifted up, higher than your heart, higher than your mind, higher than your thoughts. Glory be to God. And he'll be higher than anything and everything you'll ever dreamed of. He's seen him in a position more worthy than anything. That's what high and lifted up mean. It meant that nothing was more important than him. Nothing was more powerful than him. Nothing meant more than the position that he held in his life. Are you lifting the Lord up on high? Come on, somebody. I'm not talking about the song, if I be lifted up. Glory be to God. I'm talking about him taking a position inside of us. I saw him high and lifted up, and I've seen his throne. I've seen him upon the throne. His train filled the temple. Now, when they talk about his train filled the temple, it's a metaphor from a bride. When a bride comes down the aisle during a wedding, the long part of her gown is her train. Come on, somebody. Sometimes we have little flower girls and ring bearers holding the train because it's so long. Mm-hmm. I've seen some movies and they made kind of a comical joke about it. The train was so long, the woman had been in the room for 5 minutes, and the train still following her. So can I tell you what the train is? Because it said his train filled the temple. The train is the glory of God. His train is the majesty of God. So not only was he on his throne, but the glory of God, Habashiyeh, filled the temple. That's a sure way to know, glory to God, that you're in the presence of God, that you're in the will of God, that God is in control when his train fills the temple. And I'm not just talking about a room. I'm not just talking about a church sanctuary. Uh-huh. The temple I'm talking about is you. The temple I'm talking about is myself. The temple I'm talking about is God's people. You know that God is sitting on his throne high and lifted up with his train, when his glory filled you up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about the anointing, which the glory, the anointing is in the glory. I'm not talking about your gift, because your gift operates in the glory. God Almighty, talking about your works, because your works can't produce glory. When they mean high and lifted up, high on his throne and lifted up, and his train for the temple, what they meant that nothing else mattered to that individual. All right, y'all don't hear me yet. That meant that every minute, every second, every minute, every hour, the glory was filled inside of them. Well, somebody would say, well, Bishop, wait a minute. Well, if the glory is always there, if the glory is always filling up our temple, how can we ever go wrong? How can we ever think wrong? How can we ever make a wrong decision? Because even in your weakness, even in your wrong decision, even in your misinterpretations of God's will, you got to let the glory stay filled in the temple, because God will make a way out of no way. God will make water in the desert. Come on, somebody. God, hallelujah, will step in and watch over you and never leave you nor forsake you to the point that you won't have victory. Because in him, you are more than a conqueror to him that love you. So the train filling the temple is a decision that you make that God is always on the throne. Y'all don't hear me? I said always on the throne. That don't make you perfect. That don't make you, your gifts operate more. That don't make you more anointed. Come on, somebody. That don't mean anything except you place God at the forefront and the foremost of your life. That's what Isaiah recognized. That's why that's what that last death, the last thing that had to die, the last thing that had to die, it made him place God in a position inside of him. That it was God first, God before everything, good God Almighty. And when we put God first, it triggers a different relationship. He began to see the heavenly host. He seen the seraphims. He seen the cherubims. He seen the seraphim, which is a six-winged angelic spirit. And two of his hands, he covered his face. And two of them, he covered his feet. And with two, he did fly. When you place God first and foremost, God will give you revelation. He'll give you inspiration. He'll breathe upon you. He'll begin to deal with you. Come on, somebody. He'll open up the heavens to you. The Bible will begin to make more sense. Come on, somebody. You'll begin to understand the word when you read it. Hallelujah. You'll be able to feel the presence of God when you lift your hands. Good God Almighty. He'll be able to use you, glory to God, for different reasons in the earth. Because he's high and lifted up. And his train is filling the temple. He gave him wisdom and revelation. He seen the heavenly host operating. And the one said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Glory to God. He began seeing the majesty of God. Can I take my time tonight? You will never truly and fully be able to carry out what God has for you till you honor his majesty. Till you recognize, glory to God, that his glory, Havashinia, is filled, the whole earth is filled with his glory. Once you see the majesty of God, how about, you know, the power of God, and there's no fear and no torment. Because you know the whole earth is under God's control. It is the Lord and the fullness thereof, Psalms 24, the world and they that dwell therein. You see, the whole earth is full of his glory. Once you, glory to God, recognize that and understand that, you understand that nothing's too hard for God. You know that he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. And that is only according to the power that's working you. Good God Almighty. Once you know, glory be to God, that the heaven and the whole earth is full of his glory, you got a connection. Come on, somebody. I say you have a connection then. You have place the Holy Spirit in its proper place in your life. And you have positioned yourself to follow the leading of the Spirit. Most times when we believe it's so hard to obey the Holy Spirit, when we believe it's so hard to hear the Holy Spirit, the reason why we believe, glory be to God, that it's so hard not to falter, Because, glory to God, we have not placed ourselves in the proper position with the Holy Spirit. The Bible declared that the only purpose of the Holy Spirit when he come was to lead and guide us into all truth and righteousness. And when God is high and lifted up and his train is filling up your temple, good God Almighty, you have a yearning for truth. You have a yearning for righteousness. You desire to do right. You desire to be with right and around right. You desire, glory be to God, hallelujah, for all the nonsense, halabashindia, to depart from you. You just start desiring the things of God. And you shift. Your heart shifts. Can I take my time even deeper? The Bible declares this. If we abide in him and his word abide in us, see, you can ask what ye will. Watch what he's saying. He's telling us if we abide in him and his word abide in us, then we can ask what we will. Know why? Because what we will be his will. You don't start asking for anything that's not his will. But if he abide in us and his word, if we abide in him and his word abide in us, then our will change. Our will shift. Our will become what his will is for us. And somebody said, well, Bishop, why you jump over there? Follow me. The reason why I jumped over there, because that's what verse 4 is talking about. He's talking about a shifting in your heart. He's talking about a paradigm shift in your desires, in your will. Yes, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Yes, you can ask what you will. But what is the desires of your heart? What is your will? It's one thing before the shift, and after you place God in the right position, the Holy Spirit in the right position, place yourself in the right position, and let God stay filled in your temple, there's going to be a shift in your heart, a shift in your will, a shift in your desire. Well, Bishop, how do you get that out of grace for? Because the Bible declares, once he put everything in line and God began to deal with him, with inspiration and revelation, it said the post of the door. The post of the door. He ain't talking about our house. He's talking about the door of your heart. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Do you know every door have a doorpost? Don't you know that every door has a post? The post is what stabilizes the door. The post is what holds the door locked. The post is what makes the door have the ability to open or close. The post is the foundation of the door. And the Bible is declaring that once he put everything in the proper place, once you and I put God in the proper place in our hearts, once we place God high and lift it up, hallelujah, and let his glory, let his majesty rule and reign in our life, the door of your heart is going to shift. It's going to move. The Bible says that the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. That means, glory be to God, when God speaks, you're going to obey. Hallelujah. When God speaks, you're going to move. When God speaks, you're going to yield. Hallelujah. When God's presence comes in, you're going to praise. Never seen so many people. God can speak and they still be stubborn. God can speak and they still no reaction. The presence of God can come in the room and there's no reaction. Because the saints of God cannot. They're not sensitive anymore to the move of God.
We've lost our ability to be sensitive to the presence of God. We've lost our zeal to be moved by the word of God. We're living in a time where the word of God can be spoken and we'll let it in one ear and out of the other. And the Bible declares that the post of the door moved at his voice. Are you ready to move when God tells you to? When God speaks, are you ready to obey? He said, when God's voice spoke and the post of the door moved and God cried and the house was filled with smoke, that's his majesty caused Isaiah to give it all up. Are you ready to give it all up today? Are you ready to give it all up for God? I'm talking about your heart. Give up everything else that you know you got to give up too, but I'm talking about your heart. A lot of people want to give up everything that they think people can track their relationship with God by. But you can give up all of that and still keep your heart. And you're not getting anywhere yet. You won't be able to see your path yet. But if you give up your heart and see the path, I'm sure that everything else that you have to give up, you'll give up. So he knew what was most important. It was to get his heart to shift. And glory to God. When he did, he said, whoa. Habatie. He said, whoa. Come on, we know what whoa means today. Come on, Chapman. We know whoa means judgment. He said, whoa. He knew he had something to do for God. And he knew he was going to start talking like the Holy Spirit lead him to talk. And the first thing he said was, whoa, which means judgment. A lot of us is going around, and that's the only thing out of our mouth. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Even though we don't use the word whoa, we don't understand that come out of our mouth can be judgment. And so many saints of God are running around with judgment in our mouth. You're looking at somebody, you try to get saved, glory to God, and they won't come to church as much as you want them to come. First thing you want to do is pronounce woe. You better come. God going to do this. God going to do that. We see somebody that trying the best they can. Glory be to God. And we don't know why God has them, glory to God, not moving or not doing what was acceptable to us. First thing we do as the children of God is say, whoa. Because we know everybody else that the judgment of God is falling on. Look at that preacher. Whoa on that preacher. Whoa on that singer. Whoa on this. Whoa on that. But we don't understand why we can never see the whoa. Come on. On us. God spoke to me, and I believe this could be one of the reasons, spiritually, not naturally, but spiritually. The reason why we can't see woe is me, eyes face outwards. See? And because our eyes face outward, it's so much easier to see everybody else and to judge everybody else and to pronounce judgment on everybody else because your eyes face outward. But if you ever want to get in a place with God and you ever want to truly find out what God is saying to you and what God wants you to do, you have to find a way to take your eyeballs and turn them on the inside. Spiritually. I don't want nobody to do that now. Don't do that and say, bitches, and turn your eyes around. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm talking spiritually. Turn your eyeballs and train your eyes to look inside of you rather than look out at everybody else. Hallelujah. Oh, you'll be surprised how good a blessing that is. You'll be surprised how big a blessing that is. You'll be surprised how well much more you'll see and get in tune with God if you can just turn your eyes on the inside of you. Hallelujah. You'll be surprised how fast you'll grow, how much you'll grow. When you start looking at yourself and stop trying to judge God through trying to see the move of God through other people. Stop trying to learn the word of God through other people. Glory be to God. But if you start looking on the inside of yourself, then we just might say what Isaiah said. He said, woe is me. No, I ain't talking about God judging nobody else or dealing with nobody else. He's saying, deal with me, God. Look at me, God. Deal with me. Deal with my heart. Deal with my mind. Deal with my faults. Deal with my weaknesses and stop trying to see everybody else's. Can I tell you something? The more you try to see other people's weaknesses, you're more on their path than you are on yours. You're concentrating more on somebody else's road, somebody else's call. You're concentrating so much on somebody else's path, you're not seeing the path for you, child of God. Somebody say, I can see my way clear now. You want to see your way clear? How about seeing? Then go to God and say, woe is me. It's me. I still got work on me needed to be done. The first thing he said, woe is me. I am undone. And being undone is not always a bad thing. I don't never want to be done. I don't never want God to be done with me. I don't never want to feel like I've reached some place that I've gotten all I can get. I am who all I can be. No, I always want to say, Lord, I'm still undone. Hey, Bosha. Lord, I still want more. Lord, I'm still seeking you more. Lord, open up my mind more. Lord, show me my path more. I always want to be undone. And will you be honest with God, child of God? Tell yourself, I'm undone. Don't nobody got to tell you still need work. Hallelujah. Don't nobody got to tell you what you need to change. Glory be to God. You know you're undone. How about that? And when you place God high and lift it up, glory be to God. And God start dealing with you, the first thing he's going to do is show you you. If God wants to use you, the first thing he's going to do is show you you. First thing he's going to do is work on you. Glory be to God. He's not going to have you in church and learn the word and train you to watch other people. Kalabasia. Train you to talk about other people. Train you to try to discern everybody. But you can't discern yourself. Whoa, it's me. For I am undone. Glory be to God. I'm undone because I am a man of unclean lips, meaning that I don't know what to let come out my mouth, meaning I don't know how to speak what the Spirit is leading me to speak only. My lips is unclean. I'm shedding innocent blood. I'm tearing people down and think you don't hear me. I'm meddling into men's matter like a busybody. How about Shindia? And my eyes. See? I dwell amongst the midst of unclean lips. He said, but there's been a shift. You know worse than anybody else. But child of God, you know better. God don't love you no more than he loved the person struggling. He doesn't love you no more than he loved the person that hasn't yielded to him yet. You're undone. You're a person of unclean lips. You dwell in the midst of people with unclean lips. You dwell in the midst of people undone. Glory be to God. Everybody's trying. But one thing you'll know for sure. How about CA? And two things for certain will be when there's a shift in your heart. When there's a decision that you you've made to come closer, when there's a decision that you made to be more attentive to God, when there's a decision that you made to be more like God, nobody know it more than you. Stop looking for the prophet to tell you to come higher. Stop looking for the prophetess to tell you that God is calling you. How about seeing? When there's a shift in your heart, child of God, no one has to tell you. He said, I know I'm undone. He said, I know the people around me is undone. But the people ain't my problem. Watch what he said. But my eyes have seen the King. Good God Almighty, when you know him for yourself, hallelujah, it doesn't matter what you dwell amongst. It doesn't matter how people acting. Stop running around talking about, well, people need to stop this. People need to stop that. People that, people that, people that. No, where are you going? What road are you on? Has there been a shift? Do you see the King? Keep your eyes on the Lord. David said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. He said, my help cometh from the Lord that made heaven and earth. Why am I looking at something that can't help me? Why am I looking at something that I might not be able to help? He said, my eyes have seen the King. Soon as he focused on God, how about y'all don't hear me? Soon as he made the shift to put God first and to keep his eyes on God, he seen the help. You can't see your help because you ain't looking at God. You can't see your deliverance because you ain't looking at God. You can't see your path because you don't got your eyes on God. You got your eyes on the situation. You got your eyes on people. You got your eyes on your emotion. You got your eyes in your mind. But when he placed his eyes on the King, that quick, God sent help. See? Wow. That quick, God released help from the sanctuary. Help from heaven. And one of the seraphim flew, having a live coal in his hand that he had taken off the tongue of the altar of God. Haboshiah. Purity. It represents deliverance. It represents healing. It represents purity. Holiness. And God set him on fire. The seraphim came with the coal from the altar of God, and he laid it upon his mouth and said, lo, this has touched your lips, and your weaknesses, your iniquity, your way of thinking, your way of feeling, your faith in God, everything that fought your path is taken away. And your sins purged. Glory to God. He didn't say your sin was forgiven. Hallelujah. Because your sin has already been paid for. That's what y'all know. You got to catch it. He said your sins purged. He said, I am delivering you this from the altar of God. Is delivering you, and your sins are purged, meaning I'll give you strength over them, meaning that you won't continue to walk in them, to continue, that they won't continue to rise up in you. I'm not worried about forgiving, because if you confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you, but I'm telling you, I'm purging it. Purging means to get it out you. You need God to move some things tonight, child of God. You need to stop trying yourself. You need to stop fighting this thing yourself, child of God. Hallelujah. You need to ask God to purge it out. Ask God to remove it. Ask God to take it away. Some things only God can move. Hallelujah. Some things only God can take. Glory be to God.
He said, your sins is purged. What he did that, glory be to God, kept his eyes on God. And I stopped this stubborn spirit. And I stopped your own way of thinking. And Isaiah fell to the ground. And he said, I heard the voice of God speak to me. And God said, whom shall I send? It was a rhetorical question. Because God wasn't asking him to look back at people with unclean lips that he drugged them once again. He wasn't asking him that. He was asking him, glory be to God, can I send you now? If you haven't had those experiences I was talking about tonight, maybe you're on the wrong path. Maybe something has to die in you. Good God Almighty. Maybe, glory be to God, you got to look inside your own heart and you got to say, it's me. Woe is me. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Maybe something in your heart has to shift on your doorpost so that God can send the help to purge what you need. So then he can ask you, who shall I send? He asked him, who will go? I've sent a lot of people that haven't went. But whom shall I send and who will go when I send them? Have they sent you? And you still haven't went? Do he desire to send you? And if he send you, will you go? How about Cindy A? Make up in your mind tonight. Lord God, if you send me, I'll go. Glory to God. Valencia Lacey said, I lie. Y'all may not know who Valencia Lacey is. Glory to God for your kind of glory. She said, glory to God. If you knew what it cost you, would you still say yes? Hallelujah. He said, there's more that I desire from thee. But if you send me, Lord, I'll go. Good God Almighty. God is looking for somebody to say yes tonight. And yes, this might cost you everything. Hallelujah. I said yes might cost you everything. And I'm not just saying it for a metaphor. I'm not just saying it to teach or preach. Glory be to God. I'm telling you just as real as you can hear me tonight. It might cost you everything. Hallelujah. But if yes costs you everything, still willing to go. He says, who will go? Hallelujah to God. And Isaiah said, here I am. Good God Almighty. Here I am. Here I am. I'm not sure it might have been Israel Horton. Somebody said, here I am to worship Habasie. Here I am to bow. Hallelujah. Here I am to say that you're my God. Halabo Shaka. You're altogether lovely. He's altogether worthy. Do you know that tonight? He's altogether wonderful to me. Father God, are you saying in our closing tonight that here I am to worship? Here I am to bow down. He said, here I am. Send me. Somebody got to say yes. With everything inside of you tonight, child of God, if I'm talking to you under the sound of my voice, say yes. And make it a true yes. Make it a yes that it could cost everything. Don't worry about how it's going to wind out. Don't worry about how far up the road you're going to go. Don't worry about how manifested the gifts will be. You just say yes in the post of your heart. Just do the shift in your heart and say yes and let God take it from there. You don't have to be like my men. You don't have to be understood. You don't have to, they may not see the path that God took you and may never believe you on the right path with God. But you got to look to Jesus. You got to look to God on the throne. You got to say, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Right here as I am. Just as I am without a plea. Here I am. Send me. Use me. If you find anything that you can use me. Somebody got to say, whatever you're doing in this season, my daughter Maria Pacheco in Delaware says it. She used to sing it all the time. Don't do it, Havasie, without me. Whatever you're doing in this season, here I am. Use me. Can I share with us in our closing? The problem is a lot of us, if we're not being used on some level that we're imagining ourselves to, that we should be used, we don't let God use us. Like God just wants to zap a level on us, zap thousands of people around us, open up, zap doors open. When you didn't even do what he said, when he said, come on, you hear me? You wouldn't even do what he said when he told you to pass out tracts. And you're talking about use us. We have to be willing, children of God tonight, to say, Lord, use me when we hear his voice. And you know what God said? He said, go. God will never deny you the opportunity to be used. He'll never deny you the opportunity to witness his goodness. He'll never deny you, child of God, to lay hands on the sick and believe that they shall recover. He won't deny you those good things. We deny ourselves. Because we think we no longer qualify. We think because we messed up 800 times, 2,000 times, then I can't do it. I can't be used in that manner. No, it's an unbelief that comes on us because we let what people say and think matter. And I want to let you know, if you can press beyond people's looks, people's thoughts, people's words, and keep your eye on God, keep your heart shift, and say, here I am, use me, God will never say no, he'll say go. Come on, say that in your heart. God won't say no, he'll say go. That's right. He'll say go. He won't say no. He said, go tell this people. Hear indeed. But keep understanding not. Mm-hmm. And see indeed. And perceive not. Tell them they can keep making their heart fat. And their ears heavy. And they can keep shutting their eyes until they have a shift and they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and be converted. Not to leave you tonight, child of God, but I want to leave you with this encouragement. Stop getting upset at people. When they act like they can't see. Stop getting vexed in your spirit when people act like they can't hear what God is saying.
They can't see what God is doing. They won't give their heart to God. Stop letting it affect you, child of God, and you keep going, keep telling like God told you. And don't tell it in an angry spirit. Speak the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things, the Bible declares. Too many preachers angry at folk that ain't getting saved. You mad because folk keep going back, falling into sin. What you mad about it for? Kalabosia. Stop it, child of God. You stop being angry over people sinning. That has nothing to do with us. We didn't die. We didn't shed our blood. So we just ought not to be getting vexed over people stumbling. She said, you go and tell them. Tell them it's up to them. It's totally up to them. If they want their ears closed, their eyes closed, their heart heavy, you just keep being who I called you to be. And sooner or later, come on. Sooner or later, I said, the Bible declares. And let's say, huh? Come on, the Bible declares. You reading with me? Huh? Verse 10. He said, least they see with their eyes. Give them, let them come to the decision to hear with their ears and to understand with their heart and be converted and be healed. Do you see your way now? Somebody ought to say tonight, I see my path. I see my way. I see my way clear now. I can see my path. My path is my heart, my relationship, me placing God on high, me placing God up on high, me letting his glory, his majesty fill me and keeping my eyes on him. Is that all right? We thank you tonight, child of God. We encourage you tonight. I want you to come and listen to your weekly word workout tomorrow. Let Lady T work you out in the word. She got a word for you. She's going to give you some work. More than that, she'll give you some work in the word. Because if it's in the word, it's undisputed. And I'm Bishop Thurman A. Butler of Undisputed Truth Ministry, 1921 Darby Town Road, in the city of Henrico, Virginia. Drop me a line or two. Write me. Send me out on Facebook, whatever. Dude, be led by God and be blessed by God. Amen. Undisputed Truth Ministries, your champions in Christ. God bless you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. To God be glory.